From Hook and Bullet to Policy and Science, we're here to discuss and dissect all matters of importance to Montana's rugged landscape and the people and wildlife that call it home. This is Montana Untamed. In late October, what appears to be an adult male grizzly bear was captured on a game camera in the Missouri River Breaks. Although tracks of grizzlies have been found farther east in the Winifred area, this was the first photographic evidence of a grizzly so far from the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem. The photo is both surprising in that a bear made it so far without getting into trouble with humans, and not surprising because grizzlies have been pushing east for more than a decade. What may help this bear survive is that it has reached a large swath of public land, including the Upper Missouri River Breaks National Monument and the Charles M. Russell National Wildlife Refuge. Here to talk about his reporting on the subject is Billings Gazette outdoor editor Brett French. So, Brett, to start, could you familiarize people with where exactly this bear was photographed?
Yeah, Tom, it was on the PN Ranch, which is a historic ranch in the Missouri Breaks. It's really close to where the Judith River comes in, a popular area for a lot of floaters to take in or put in that area, and not far from Winifred, and within that whole Upper Missouri River Breaks National Monument. And the PN Ranch is now owned by American Prairie, a nonprofit group that has been buying ranches in that northeastern and central Montana area.
Right, right. And I definitely want to get to explaining for folks what American Prairie is all about. But first, is the PN Ranch, is that north or south of the river, do you know?
That would be south of the river. Yeah, it's almost right next to the road as you drive into that Judith landing area. So it would be west of the road that goes down from the Winifred area into there.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, because, you know, the NCDE is obviously north of the Missouri River. So at some point, I would imagine that the bear had to cross the Missouri to get to the south side.
Unless it came from Red Lodge.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So
we don't really know.
Right, right. And we're going to get into that. So for those who may not know, will you explain what American Prairie is?
So American Prairie is a nonprofit group that's raised money to buy ranches in that central Montana, northeastern Montana area, largely in Fergus, Phillips, Musselshell counties, those areas. And since they're a nonprofit, they've opened up some of their land to block management hunting, public hiking and camping. Their goal is to restore the short grass prairie on the lands that they have purchased. And by restore, I mean the land, a lot of it's not been farmed anyway, so not in that respect, but in restoring the wildlife and the habitat for those wildlife. And that would include bison, which they have heard that they're raising on their lands, which is considered domestic bison livestock, not wild.
Right. Yeah. And you know, Brett has done a lot of reporting on American Prairie, and we've done a couple of previous episodes on this podcast on American Prairie. So if you want to learn more about what their program and what they're doing, there's tons of it out there. But now, Brett, in the past, grizzlies have wandered east. They haven't fared so well. Tell us what typically happens to these, explorers of the grizzly bear population.
Yeah, so going back for more than a decade, as the populations of grizzly bears has grown in that Northern Continental Divide ecosystem, which includes like the Bob Marshall Wilderness, Glacier National Park, The bears are seeking out new habitat. Often it's young bears. Mom kicks out the cubs, and they'll go on a walkabout to explore. Often young males, but not always. And they've gone as far as the Marias River, like all the way down the Teton to the Marias River, to just outside of Loma. They've gone to the Stanford area, into the Big Snowies, just across the mountains there on the kind of the northwest side of the Snowies. And typically what happens is they'll run afoul of landowners or ranchers and get into trouble, either raiding chicken coops, killing sheep or livestock, and then Fish, Wildlife, or Parks, or the what's the trapping guys? They come in and drawing a complete blank.
Fish and Wildlife Services?
No, it's through USDA, the animal.
Oh, Wildlife Service. USDA Wildlife Services.
Wildlife Services. There you go. Thanks.
Yeah.
Total brain block there. Wildlife Services will come in and either trap them and relocate them if it's like a first offense, or if they're too far gone, you know, they'll just euthanize them. So most of the ones that make it very far east don't live long.
Right. I mean, there's just so much trouble they can get into out there, you know, not bear adapted, you know, producers, ranchers, you know, even urban environments. None of that stuff is bear adapted because bears haven't been out there for, you know, 100 years or so. But this bear is a little bit, as I said in the intro, has kind of made it to a little bit more of like a wilderness, so to speak. Can you talk a little bit about where the bear wound up and how that country out there may lend itself better to a bear surviving without getting into conflict with humans?
Right. So on the one hand, there's not a lot of people out there, so that certainly helps. You're talking about the Upper Missouri River Breaks National Monument, and that runs into the Charles M. Russell National Wildlife Refuge. That's a 1.1 million acres just on its own. Then there's also BLM land that abuts a lot of the Upper Missouri River Breaks National Monument, which is managed by the BLM. And American Prairie owns lands that abut both of those areas, the CM Russell and the Upper Missouri River Breaks. So it creates a really large landscape for a bear to move around on, find food, typically or possibly without running into trouble with livestock producers.
Right. You know, as I noted in the introduction, most of these bears are coming from the NCDE, the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem. And like you said, those are places like the Bob Marshall Wilderness and Glacier National Park areas. But that's not always the case, right?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I just found this out yesterday that the grizzly bear that was killed, it was a 5-year-old male, I think, a couple of years ago, north of the Snowy Mountains. It had got into a rancher's steer and was eating it. It was captured and killed, and the DNA test results came back that it was an animal from the Red Lodge area. So that's a pretty good trek. Just consider all the highways and rivers and natural features it had to cross to get that far. It's a pretty amazing trek, and you just wish that these animals had tracking beacons on them so we could see how they navigated all that terrain without getting into trouble. And, you know, they've obviously follow oftentimes drainages. You know, that's good cover, there's food. That's typically a great way for them to move across the landscape.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about, you know, all the conversations around, you know, the NCDE population and the greater Yellowstone population where they kind of meet in the middle around the Clark Fork Valley or the Big Hole Valley. But it's kind of crazy to think that those populations are kind of meeting in the middle way out east in the Brakes country.
Yeah, it really is, because there's not a drainage that goes from the Beartooth Mountains to the Snowies, you know. That's that's the wrong direction. Everything is flowing east, and that's going almost due north. So, yeah, that's pretty wild.
Hmm. Okay, so, you know, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks officials have been working hard to inform Montana residents and visitors about, you know, living and recreating in bear country. Traditionally, that was in the western part of the state, and obviously as the bears are moving elsewhere, that message is going, is following the bears. What is that main message that they're passing along to folks?
Yeah, they've really stepped up their programs to educate folks in eastern Montana, you know, about securing bear attractants, livestock feed, things like that. Even simple things like barbecue grills, you know, apple trees, picking up apples that will bring bears into yards. And then, of course, just being bear aware when you're out on the landscape, carrying bear spray, you know, and being diligent about watching where you're going and when you're going into some of these drainages that have thick cover. And so those are the main points. And like you said, the work has proved successful on that Northern Continental Divide ecosystem and the Blackfoot, where they've done that kind of training with landowners in the past, and it's successful, and it's keeping bears alive, and the people aren't losing livestock, so it can work.
Right, right. You know, I mean, I guess, Brett, you've spent time in the Brakes, and you've reported a lot on, you know, these pioneering grizzly bears that wind up all over the place where people aren't really expecting them. Do you have any final thoughts about this recent discovery with all that in mind?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that just in, you know, this short amount of time, the last couple of years, they had one sighted in or confirmed in the Moccasin Mountains, which is just north of Lewistown. Maybe it's the same bear, I don't know. And then we had a report of one in the Pryor Mountains, you know, not far from Red Lodge. And so it's really interesting that some of these bears are making it into these larger landscapes where it's possible that they could survive. Now, whether they reproduce, you know, that's a totally different question, because got to get a mate out there. Or, you know, will they run into trouble? Will they just eventually grow tired of that area and move someplace else? It's really an interesting question in that respect. And it'll be fun to find out what happens. But there's also a concern too, you know, but like the wolves, when they were first reintroduced to Montana, there was a lot of animosity towards them, and this idea of shoot, shovel, and shut up, and get rid of the wolves so they don't kill wildlife and livestock. So there's also that side of the coin that is going to be part of the discussion, you know, and we'll see.
Right. Right. You know, and I guess it's important to note, and I don't know if we cleared that up earlier, that, you know, like you said, there's often these pioneering, usually younger males that go off and, you know, they're seen or they're witnessed in these far off places. But like you said, you know, they're out typically because the territory that they were raised in or were born in has an abundance of bears. And so they go out looking for new territory, just kind of that biological mechanism to go and find new country. But unless they meet other bears there and other bears have taken that same trek with them, it doesn't necessarily mean that bears live in the Brakes right now or that they live in the Moccasins. It's just that, you know, maybe one was witnessed there, right? Right. There needs to be more for there to actually be a population in these far-flung places.
Right. But this is how it starts. Could be, you know, if they enough of them wander over that it could be a little population. But, again, grizzly bears are very slow reproducing, too. You know, that typically only one or two cubs at most, sometimes three. So it's not like even if there was a male and a female out there that the area is going to be overrun with grizzly bears anytime soon. And also, you know, if people haven't been around grizzly bears, if they haven't recreated in grizzly bear country like you and I have, boy, we've both spent a lot of time in bear country. And, you know, I rarely see bears. They typically don't want to see me either. And, you know, if you take precautions, I have no fear about camping out and being in the woods where there's grizzly bears. But, you know, that's definitely a concern for some people, and especially for people that live along the Rocky Mountain front, you know, that they may walk out the door and see a bear. But as your reporting has noted, there's steps to take that can protect people and bears.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things that, you know, the bears are moving and their populations are growing, and they're not really going anywhere, and the people aren't really going anywhere either. So, you know, it's just a matter of adapting all of those tools, like you said, in that messaging from FWP, to live, you know, to find some sort of coexistence with the critters.
Right, and then the other thing hanging out there, of course, is the Endangered Species Act listing that protects them right now, that the state of Montana and Wyoming would like to see dropped so that hunting of grizzly bears could return. So that's another thing on the horizon that could prove difficult for those explorer bears.
Right, right. Well, hey, thanks, Brett, for coming on and giving us the down low on this this new bear sighting.
Yeah, thanks.
Montana Untamed is a podcast from the newsrooms of Lee Enterprises Montana Newspapers. Visit any of our websites or subscribe wherever podcasts are found.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.